copy on? I'll go ahead and call this February 19, 2020 regular session meeting to order. Kim, would you call the roll?
Here.
Commissioner Day.
Here.
Commissioner Robinson.
Here. You all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a prayer of Commissioner Creech.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Just thank you for another great day of life. We just ask you to be with us through this week as we make decisions for the county. Be with all those others in the county and the state and the nation that are making decisions. Just ask that you be with those that aren't well and as this sixth season is here and help them recover. Be with our troops, be with our police, be with all those first responders that help us meet what we need and continue to be with us throughout the rest of this week. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. On the agenda today, we have public comments, approval minutes, financial considerations, correspondence reports, travel requests, meeting, 9:30 a.m. Miami Valley Conservancy District, aquifer preservation update, 10 a.m. Alexa Joyce, United Way, and Lauren Robinson, Dolly Parton Imagination Library Program, 10:30, Bob Baker, Courthouse Maintenance, 11 a.m. is the bid opening for the 2020 small pay game for the engineer. Are there any additional items?
Yes, at 10:15, Eric and Merritt will be coming over to talk to you regarding Sewer District 6.
All right. Thank you. All right, at this time, I will open the public comment. We have a letter in response to that. We have been advised that that is attorney-client privileged information, so we won't be sharing that. But we did have a letter that said we want to thank you again.
Marty did visit with us last Wednesday and shared with us the option, so there's going to be some action being taken probably later today on my behalf. Because I think we got the option in front of us, and it's time to move forward. So, with that said, we did meet with him on and talk about that. So,
okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Public comments? All right. At this time, I will accept an approval of the minutes.
I'll move to note receipt items to approve by signing the journalization and note receipt of the CD recordization. Both as the official minutes for the February 12th, 2020 regular session meeting.
Sorry.
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Financial considerations. Accept an approval of, or a motion to approve Resolution 146, reference authorized payment vital statistics $15,245.67. Motel lodging tax $3,718.67. Computerization recorder $1,705.55 and task $1,000.
Move to approve Resolution 146.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. I accept a motion to approve Resolution 150, reference authorized expenditure $86,029.60 for the purchase of 1,060 tons of de-icing salt engineer.
Move to approve Resolution 150.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 151, reference authorized expenditure, $7,200, purchase of a safety trench box system engineer.
Move approve Resolution 151.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 152, reference authorized expenditure of $6,138.78, purchase of 2 furnace and air conditioning systems, EMA.
Move to approve Resolution 152.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 153, reference authorize the hire of outside legal counsel, REA.
Move to approve Resolution 153.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Correspondence and reports. I'll accept a motion to note receive the report from the sheriff. Reference monthly jail report, January 2020.
Move to note receive the report from the sheriff.
Second.
During the month of January, we booked 35 females into the jail, which is the same amount that we booked in December. In January of 2019, we had booked 36 females. 2019 to 2020 year-to-date comparison for the same period in 2019, we booked 36 females. In 2020, we have booked 35 females, a 2.8% decrease. The following is information for a female inmate housed in Preble County for the month of January. Lowest population occurred on January 28th with 6 females. Highest population occurred on January 1st, 13 female inmates. In January, we housed 2 inmates in Wayne County. Average female population housed at our facility in the month of January is 9.67, which is at our capacity of 10 inmates. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing a plan, reference fraud plan, JFS.
Move to note receipt and approve by signing the plan.
Second.
Discussion? Well, yes, Kim?
As you say, you've kind of seen this before. I checked with JFS. It's the ODJFS Bureau of Program Integrity Fraud Control Unit requested that each county renew and update their fraud plan. And the original one was done back in September 2005. None of you have seen this before, and at that time they worked with the prosecutors how they deal with and what the limits are for dealing with people who are committing fraud through their programs that are funded from the state. So basically, I had her send me down the changes that were made, and it has to do with basically financial levels. Nothing else has changed. It's just the limits, like all overpayments over $100 will be pursued. Let's see, and the cost thresholds, the aggregate amount of overpayment was changed from $500 to $5,000. Civil complaints was changed to between $5,000 to $15,000. So basically, the plan itself is still the same. The amounts were changed to reflect what the current law requirements are. So.
Thank you for giving us the cliff notes on that. Is there any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt of a letter from the treasurer, reference resignation of Celeste Kaplinger, part-time treasurer clerk.
Move to note receipt a letter from the treasurer.
Okay.
This letter is to advise you that Celeste Kaplinger's last day of employment by the treasurer's office will be February 21st, 2020. Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Travel request. I'll accept a motion to approve the following travel requests. Resolution 151, or 155, I'm sorry. Elizabeth Sizemore and Marion Schmidt, juvenile court, have requested permission to attend the civil treatment for employees training in Columbus, Ohio on April 2nd, 2020. Cost not to exceed $270. Resolution 156, Shane Hatfield, sheriff professional training, has requested permission to attend first line supervision in Indiana, Ohio, March 16th through March 20th. Cost not to exceed $625. Resolution 157, Regina Hapner and Gary Spencer have requested permission to attend the OCOWF conference in Columbus, March 25th through 27th. Cost not to exceed $744. Resolution 158, Becky Sarl, JFS. Becky has requested permission to attend the executive membership meeting in Lewis Center, Ohio on March 5th and 6th. Cost not to exceed $268. Resolution 159, Kevin Bovey, JFS, has requested permission to attend the OCAS training in Columbus, Ohio, March 13th. Cost not to exceed $160. And Resolution 160, Jenny Kaltenbach and Shannon Webb, JFS, have requested permission to attend the review Title IV training in Columbus, March 3rd through the 5th. Cost not to exceed $672.
Move to approve Resolution 155 through 160.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. All right, Kim, are there additional items?
Association's request and a letter of paid real quick regarding a wage rate adjustment for a gentleman at the landfill who just got his CDL license, so he's eligible for the 50 cents an hour stipend that we provide.
Okay. Just lost my job.
Getting the CDL. Which,
I got down and drive truck for
a letter of response to the article.
Okay. Association concerning their request of us releasing our legal opinion from our attorney.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
I'll read the letter. I'm going to read the letter. Oh. No, it's all right. I handed it to you before I... We received your letter on behalf of the Board of Trustees of the Preble County Art Association dated January 31st, 2020, and discuss your request that we waive our attorney-client privilege and provide your organization with a copy of a legal opinion provided to us by our attorney. We have decided not to waive our attorney-client privilege in regard to the legal opinion provided to us the Board of Preble County Commissioners by the Preble County Prosecutor's Office, and will not be providing you with copies of the correspondence. Oh, yes, it is. Sincerely, Board of Preble County Commissioners. Thank you. All right, and we have taken the roll already on that. And then we have the wage note receipt and approved by signing a letter to the payroll clerk concerning the wage rate adjustment for John Ferguson.
Job, John.
Who've never seen approved by signing the letter.
Second.
Effective January 29th, 2020. I handed it to you. I can read it from there. John Ferguson has successfully acquired a valid Class A CDL, which makes him eligible for a 50-cent stipend to his current pay. Mr. Ferguson's rate of pay shall be adjusted from $17.86 per hour to $18.36 per hour with the stipend included. Sincerely. Have we called the roll?
No.
Would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes.
Okay. Then I have a letter from Becky Terrell. This is just making us aware that Regina Fulmer, who was recently promoted into the position of the administrative assistant in fiscal, is resigning effective February the 23rd. She accepted a position in Montgomery County, which pays more than ours. So anyway, she would like to post for the fiscal specialist position again as soon as possible, internally and externally. So if you are in okay with that, I do have a health notice ad prepared for the fiscal specialist.
Okay. I'll accept a motion to approve the health wanted ad.
So move.
Second.
Can you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Yes. Anything else, Ken?
Yes, Becky also requested that you approve Resolution we've done this in the last 2 years that gives the director of JFS to serve as the commissioner's designee for approving county adjustments of allocated funds for 2020. They have some funds that they are not going to be using, and we have this in place so they can just do the transfer. There's a listing of what they're going to be transferred.
This is Resolution 161.
Move to approve Resolution 161.
Second.
This just makes it easier for the counties to transfer money in between, amongst themselves, if one county has an overage that another county can use. This approves so that they can do that quickly amongst themselves. Any further discussion? Can we call the roll?
Commissioner Jay?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Brad has sent down, we're short on the rural zoning board, and he talked to John Toshlov from Jefferson Township, who works for National Trail. He's the transportation safety director for National Trail School, and Mr. Toshlov has indicated that he would be interested in filling that position. So, if you guys want to consider that, or that would be Brad's recommendation.
I'll make a motion that we approve John Toshlog for the, is it rural zoning?
It is the rural zoning.
Rural zoning board.
I have a resolution and wish to move forward with
Let's
that.
Do that.
Resolution 154.
So move.
Further discussion? Can you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Beck?
Yes.
Commissioner Robbins?
Yes. Anything else, Ken?
You guys have a packet of information up there concerning a webinar that CCAO is having today on the 25th. This information has to do with what the state public defender's office is doing as far as setting the rules in place. I just wanted to let you guys have the information. It is this afternoon at 1, it starts at 1:30. You had to be registered by yesterday, so I registered all of you guys for the webinar so that the information in your email, so if you're interested in setting in, you guys will have a link already ready to go. This is your information on what the...
So is there a phone number to call? I don't see...
No, it's strictly web-based.
Oh, okay.
It's a webinar, so you'll have a link.
There'll be a link.
They said they should have sent you an email yesterday after I registered you. So in your email, there should be a link that you will just have to connect to today.
We will look for that. It's this afternoon at 1:30?
At 1:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's from Nidra Benson.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I've got it. Okay.
So, the only other thing is, Brenda with Victim Witness stopped into our office, and she emailed me also, and I talked to you about the house at 125 South Cherry Street. Maintenance said that they were done, and Victim Witness is doing a little bit of painting that they wanted to colors and stuff, but she wanted to know if there was anything that she needed from you guys before they could move in there, like a resolution or anything like that. And I said, I think she would like to have something done, and I think maybe it would be a good thing since you know we've gone the effort of fixing the house up and everything and moving over, and nothing else you guys, you know, officially handed over the keys to the building.
Open the door and carry her over the threshold.
I don't think you need to do that, but you know.
Good.
You know, it would just be a nice
gesture. Okay.
And they're looking for something, I think, a little official.
Okay.
It's not like we're giving them the building.
Right.
No. But
just moving in.
You know, they are appreciative of the fact that you guys took
it. Might be good to go
to
through.
I want to go.
Do a tour after they move in. Just kind of see how it looks. And they need a trailer.
I thought we were going to get Bob and take a tour before they move in, so we can.
And we can do that to Bob will be in today. We can talk to him about it.
Because, yeah, I was thinking we're.
Nobody liked my trailer joke.
Slept through.
So I wonder if they need a trailer. Nobody laughed at it. They're moving right beside
you.
We're literally going to take out of one house. Yeah, we met with Marty Wednesday, and pretty much he laid out the option that we have. I emailed him Friday and said, you know, what's the next step? I feel like we've kind of delayed this for certain reasons, Board of Elections and other, and kind of some unknowns, and now the unknowns are not that, you know, the unknowns are gone. We have the option in front of us to bid, to take in, or, you know, put the land out for bid. And I would like to get that moving forward. That's going to be a process that takes time. And so with that, I think we need a comment, but I would like to go to motion. I'd like to make a motion that we do put the land that the Art Center building is sitting on up for bid.
Discussion?
Just for the record, Marty did state we have to put it up for the bid is open to the public, but the bid is for the land. So if somebody else was to purchase the land, they would not get the building. So that's kind of the gist of the bidding process. So that's what Marty said.
Yeah, I'm,
I mean, they would own the land.
No.
Okay.
The lease would go with the building, but the building goes with the land. It's not two.
Yes.
It's not two separate entities.
I was wrong. I stand corrected.
I stand corrected. The record.
You would still own the building, but the lease would go with the. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't own the building. You have the right to the lease.
Yes.
For 99 years. The building goes with the property.
Yeah.
As property.
Mm-hmm.
The lease goes with the property.
So if somebody bought the land, nothing would change. I said that wrong.
Except
that's
that
my fault.
You would be dealing with an unknown property owner if it wasn't you. So that's kind of what.
But my
that
point
makes me nervous.
My only point was they're buying the building, but they still don't have access to it. I stand corrected.
But in our discussion. If someone were to purchase the land and decide to use the portion, like build something next door onto the property or whatever, that would be within their rights.
If zoning approved it.
Well, right. So I think it's risky, but okay.
We have no other option.
Discussion, and we'll talk about it some more.
Well, I think that I know we've gotten the Arts Association's got an appraisal. I know Rodney's got some local stuff from local people, but I guess we need to do some research to find out what is comparable before we move forward, because quite frankly, everything that everybody's comparing this to is. We're not comparing apples and apples, and I don't know how we do that.
Well, if we put it up for bid, it doesn't matter. It's going to go to the highest bidder or what the land. I mean, I don't think it matters what the land's worth because it's worth what somebody's going to pay. Somebody could give $10,000 for it or somebody could give $500,000 for it. We're putting it up for bid, so therefore it doesn't matter. And that's the discussion we had Wednesday. I think it's time to move forward. The bidding process is to determine what the real value is of the land. I mean, you don't say the land's worth this, let's go to auction and it's going to sell for this. The land's going to sell for whatever the highest bidder goes. That's my personal opinion.
Sealed
bids.
So it would have to be very packaged.
Right.
Okay, any further discussion? Chris?
Yeah.
Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Proper notification out to whoever wants to bid on this property with the lease attached.
And we'll have Marty involved in that process to review, I'm sure, since this is kind of with the lease and everything.
It's not like we have to see the bids for.
Well, I just want to make sure the wording is correct on.
Because of the lease?
Yes. Okay. I think we need to make sure it's 100% accurate. Because it could make a mess if not. In fact, it's created a mess for a long time.
I think it's
going to
be a mess no matter what.
It's not
going to
make a mess. It is a mess.
It is a mess. It may be a bigger mess. We'll see.
I just think it needs spelled out.
Oh, absolutely.
So people know what they're buying.
Right. Okay. Anything else, Kim? Anything else? Well, I guess you didn't have anything. Anything else?
Not that I can do in 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, only 2 minutes. Okay. Well, but they're not here yet.
I have more than that. I don't see anybody here.
He's not here. here yet, so we can keep going until they get here.
We can do that. Last Friday, we had a partnership meeting. I can't remember what it's a business development meeting. Couldn't remember which one it was. And they brought up the PCDP, CVB, and chamber going under one roof. I told them I'd bring it up today. I think I know Denise, did you get a chance to talk to, you were going to go over there and talk to the ladies at the 4-H extension.
Right.
Did you get a chance to talk to them to see
I
what
did,
kind of,
and they said that there is no time frame, no immediate time frame for them to have anything available at the fairgrounds.
No, I thought we were going to see how much square footage, somebody was going to see how much square footage everybody needed, because they wanted to go over there and ask. I don't know who that was.
Already.
Know how much they needed.
Yeah,
the extension.
I'm pretty sure the extension office thinks they need
all the space that they have.
Well, and that's where I differ. I don't.
But I'm pretty sure they think.
There's
There's
two people that live in 5,000 square foot houses too. So I guess I want to start the process and keep it on the radar, because I just feel like, you know, we do have a lot of stuff going on in our office, and it just seems like things just drop off the radar. I think time flies. So I want to make sure and keep that on our radar, because we need to do something, I think. I mean, the partnership and the chamber and the CVB, I mean, they're just steamrolling right now, and I think we need to take advantage of the motion and keep moving forward with them and not hold them up. Having them under one roof to me is a no-brainer. Not only a one-stop shop, but also they can share employees, share printers, share this and that. So from an efficiency standpoint, I want to.
And that's all well, fine and good, except that we have the microfilm over there now too.
Well, that's short term. Well, I'm looking, and I mean, as soon as we get when the basement is complete, that'll open back up. But I'm 100% confident there's enough space over there to make that happen. Is it the right thing to do? Probably not. But we also can't afford to do the right thing, so I want to make sure and bring it up, and I think we need to keep in discussion. I'll put a note up here to keep reminding me, but I think we need to keep that on the radar. And plus the additional meeting space. I mean, to me, how much space do you want and how much do you need are two totally different things, and we need to find out what people need.
All right. So because the last time I talked about going over there, it was more to ask them about their future plans. I can go over and ask them, you know.
I thought somebody, maybe it was Chris, somebody was going to ask them how much space.
Square footage. I thought we went over and we looked, and I think we're all thinking they're taking up more space than they actually need.
Well, they would.
Two people.
If we do it right, they may have just as much space, if not more, because they would get Brenda's side and the back room. But. Well, then you're going to be looking at rent or buying a place or whatever, and I'm trying to do it without spending money.
If that's the case, so be it. If it's the right thing to do, let's do it the right way.
Well, everybody's under that building. Right now, Brenda's sitting in an 8x8 office and running the partnership. I don't see why Extension office would have to be – I don't see why the girls at Extension would have to have any bigger office than her. Now, they have workspace, but they've got five offices over there and only two people's using five offices. Makes no sense. I think Brenda works in an 8x8 and gets a lot accomplished. There's a lot of people that work in big companies that work in cubicles.
So you're talking basically though, sharing conference rooms and things like that. I would tell you can run into conflicts, unfortunately.
I think it's going to come down to scheduling. I think it can be done. I'd like to do it without spending money or building something or renting something, but. I mean, technically, we're going to be doing the exact same function. We're just adding two small offices. The chamber does not need a large office. The CVB does not need a large office. The CVB don't even have anything right now. All they need is a chair with a desk. So we're really not changing the function of the building. I'm sorry?
Storage.
As far as CVB?
CVB.
Well, and that would go in a small closet.
Yeah, thanks.
So I guess my point is we're not really changing the function. We're just trying to, I think, help. The three entities work together.
That's all good. My biggest thing is we're not going to shortchange Extension.
Oh,
because
I agree.
Just because attention and nobody's done anything with it. I think we need to explore some options and see if there's another place they can go.
And I'm not against that. I just want to, I think we need to charge ourselves with doing that because we've been talking about this for a year and they haven't moved off center yet. And
where do you want them to be?
I'm fine with them staying where they're at. So, I mean, if you guys want to find another place, I'm fine with keeping our expenses down and utilizing the facility that we have at no rent. But if you guys want to go find a place to buy or rent, bring it to us. I'm fine with keeping it the way it is.
I don't think there's going to be enough space to make it work.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will find out the square footage of everything, and I'll try and draw up something. And then if you guys want to try and find another place, I think we need to come to an agreement on something. I definitely don't want to shortchange the extension, and I believe they'll have more space because they would get Brenda's entire side and have access to the big, that meeting room's not used that much. They could be set up in there, you know. Like I said, I told them I'd bring it up, so I did, and I'll try and put some drawings together and space, because really, I think we did, didn't we measure that when we was over there? The different size rooms, I don't have that. I'll take a wheel over there and come up with some stuff. I just want to make sure and it doesn't fall further.
We had something sketched out, but I don't work center out.
Yeah.
We went over and walked.
Does Bob have something?
I don't know if he might. That's what I was thinking, because when we redid the extension office, mm-hmm. We redid it for the economic development thing. I'm pretty sure there are plans and stuff filled up, so we probably have plans.
So I need to get with Bob or you?
Could you get with Bob and see if there's something that's been drawn up?
If you get with Bob and he's got it, can you have him get with me? And then I'll quit playing the middle guy.
Okay. That way. All right. It looks like our 9:30 meeting has arrived. That's all right. We have lots of things to talk about, so we can fill some time. So at this time, like the Miami Valley Conservancy District, so they had an aquifer preservation update. So,
yeah. Well, we'd really like to thank you for agreeing to meet with us today. And I'm not sure how much you know about the Miami Conservancy.
Could you go to the podium, sure. Please? We do record our meetings, and that probably will help with any of the audio.
I'm not sure how much you know about the Miami Conservancy.
And could you introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
My name is Mike Eckberg, and I am the manager of our water monitoring and data analysis programs in the Miami Conservancy District. And I'm here with Dr. Sarah Hibbenstiel Hall today. And we just want to give you an update on some of the programs, some of the things we have going on at the Miami Conservancy District. I'm going to talk primarily today about our water stewardship, but first let me touch a little bit on who we are. We're technically a subdivision of the state of Ohio, and we were formed after the 1913 flood, which was really a devastating flood to the Miami Valley. And as a result of that, the Miami Conservancy District was created, and we developed kind of a whole drainage basin-wide flood protection system that consists of five dams, about 55 miles of levee, and that system protects the communities from Piqua all the way down through Troy and Dayton. I'm skipping some communities, but West Carrollton and Hamilton, all those downtown areas that were devastated in the 1913 flood, those are the areas that our system protects from flooding to this day. Currently, you know, like a lot of organizations that have a lot of infrastructure, some of our projects are focused on aging infrastructure. You know, the flood protection system, the dams were completed back in 1922, and the concrete there is getting close to 100 years old, and so we've got some major work going on up at our Lockington Dam in Shelby County, but we'll be turning our attention eventually to Germantown Dam, which is closer to this neck of the woods, and doing some work there to rehabilitate the concrete on that dam. Outside of flood protection, we work a lot with communities in this area on recreation. We have helped organize and get some water trails set up, some recreation multi-use trails along our riverways. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But what I wanted to really talk about today is water stewardship. Our water stewardship program, we have a big network of water data collection activities that go on in the drainage area. Some of those here in Chautauqua County, where we have a network of precipitation gauges. We measure the amount of rainfall that the area gets. We have stream gauges on pretty much all of our major streams. We work with USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, on that. So we monitor flows. We have a network of around 100 observation wells. We're monitoring levels in regional aquifers and looking at how the amount of water stored in our aquifers is fluctuating over time. And then we do a lot of water quality. And I just wanted to touch upon a few things that we've had going on here in Trouble County. We recently have completed some work really targeted towards private well owners. One of the big water quality issues in our region is naturally occurring arsenic in groundwater. And we find that about 20% of the wells that we sample have arsenic above the public drinking water standard. Now, private water systems are not required to do anything about that. But what we want to do is raise awareness. And encourage people who have a well to go out and get it tested. And there's things you can do if you do have an elevated arsenic, there's things you can do to remove it from the drinking water. Towards that end, we've been doing a lot of test your well events. We've worked with the Preble County and Butler County Soil and Water Conservation Districts. We've got one coming up in Collinsville in early March, where we encourage, again, private well owners to come in, bring a sample of their water. We'll screen it on site, and then if they want to do further analyses, Miami Conservancy District will fund a lab to do additional analyses on the water. We'll do bacteria and metals as well as arsenic. We've been involved in some other things too. We've created some educational brochures on what to do with, if you have a septic system, how to maintain that. We've distributed that material to your local health departments and stuff, just trying to help the health departments with information on again, septic system and private well owners. We've done some work also just really kind of promoting water and education. We participate in the Region 4 Envirothon for high school students, and we support that. There are some Preble County schools that take part in that event. It deals with environmental challenges related to water. We've been involved in some conservation efforts here in the county to conserve land over the aquifer or along sensitive kind of water habitats along the river. We work with Three Valley Conservation, or Three Valley Conservation Trust, thank you. We've also been did some work with your historical society, the amphitheater area there, to put in some rain gardens, some kind of low impact stormwater features in that area. So that's kind of a brief overview of some of the things we've been doing. I'm going to turn it over to Sarah now. She has some we want to get some input from the county commissioners here.
I'm gonna. These are some handouts. Some of the things that he referred to. I'll get back in front of the mic. Copy for you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we do. Here, let me get some of that. Thank you. Thank you for having us. By the way, we know you have busy schedules. We do send out an annual report about our activities that are related to water stewardship that the county helps to fund. We do pool resources from a 9-county region to help make sure that we have enough resources to understand our aquifer and our rivers and streams and then protect it. So this is a 9-county partnership that we've been that you've been part of since the late 90s. We send out an annual report, but we like to come every year or so to make sure that you are hearing directly from us. Of course, you're always concerns or even just any question about water. So in your packet on the left-hand side is the report that Mike just quickly summarized for you. That is very specifically, we pulled out the things that we've been doing specifically in your county, but the larger color report is a summary of all the things that we've been doing throughout the whole region related to our sensitive aquifer and our precious rivers and streams. And so those projects are all related to you as well, but we wanted to do something specific for each county as well. So both of those reports, we are actually required to present to you an 8-year summary, and so that's what that is. That summary will then lead to the reauthorization of this program later this year by your board of directors. We take your input and your concerns very seriously, so we want to hear from you what your water needs are, if you have any ideas of things that we can help more with in your county as well as the region. And so on the back page of that single printed sheet is a way for you to provide some input. We try to make it easy. If you want to write a letter or have something in addition to that, it's fine, but we were also just trying to make it easy for you to send us some input. And if you can send input by March 1st to our general manager, that is all going to be taken to our board when they reauthorize in March. So that's formally what we're here for, but we just wanted to make sure you knew what we were doing for your constituents, and then we want to make sure if there's anything that we're not doing, we want to hear that so we can start to build programs around it.
While you were talking, the test your well event is March 10th, because I think this is really close to me. March 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. in Collinsville Community Center there in Collinsville. So hopefully we can get the word out that that's an event. It's a free event, and so just bring your water.
It's a free event, and so I know that Total Water has put it in their newsletter. We try to push it out through our channels as well. Any other way that we can get the word out to those residents. We found that it's very challenging, no matter where you are and what county you are, to reach people who have a private well and people who have septic systems. There's no easy way to reach just everyone all at once.
Right.
That's why we created those fact sheets that are on your right-hand side of that folder. We try to put those in as many places as we can to reach those owners so that they know that they are responsible for that private well. The quality of that, nobody's going to come out and do it for them, and we try to make it as easy as possible on them to find information. And then the same with septic tanks, we want to make sure people are maintaining them properly so they're not then polluting either their well directly or some kind of stream nearby.
I think you're available to the health department.
We sent them to your health department in Total Water. They actually helped us craft the message too. So those offices were instrumental in making sure that we were putting together something that they could utilize.
All right. Anything else? Any questions?
We didn't talk about nutrients today, but there's a nice big article in that printed brochure. We continue to be concerned about nutrient pollution in our rivers and streams, and I know you've thought a lot about that too. And no easy solution, but we're continuing to work on it.
It's going to continue to affect all of us for many years.
Many years, and we've spent the last 10 years talking about it and trying to solve it, and it's only going to get, I don't want to say the pollution is going to get worse, the attention to the problem is only going to get more magnified, and so it's good that our region has already been working together. We're seen as sort of a leader in that way, but we still haven't found the magic solution.
At this point, nobody has, and unfortunately, we can talk and test all we want until we start trying to do some science on it, trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done some, but not enough.
We just need to get some money on the ground.
Right.
Okay. Well, there's nothing else. Thank you so much for coming in and introducing yourselves. And this needs to be back by March 1st.
Any input that you want to provide, like I said, you can write a letter, you can use that form. If you could provide input back to the general manager, and then that will go on official record, and we'll go from there. And that will help craft our next 8-year work plan. We do an annual work plan, and then we kind of look
Thank you.
Much.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you too.
You're fine. Until our 10 o'clock
gets here. Okay. The Ohio Governor's
So what are you doing? Are you marketing to your usual
So the library is going to handle all the marketing.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is, you know, obviously talk to the partners that we already have. We are in all the preschools, daycares. We work well with Head Start. We're going to work with the hospitals, try to get, you know, pamphlets in there. We're really going to encourage online sign-up because it is so much easier to handle than having 5,000 forms come in.
Oh, right.
But there's already pre-made advertisement that we can utilize once we sign the agreement to get people to sign up for it. So it's something that, you know, we would put on Facebook, encourage people to share, you know, have, you know, a big release day of when this starts, you know, put a lot of promotional backing to it to get people excited. But I think that, you know, we have a strong children's department, we have a strong story time program that we have a lot of kids that we reach, and then, you know, their parents will get the information out there to other parents and just kind of have a snowball effect.
And that's where the hospital and doctors, because getting them when they're born, so they can get 50 books versus, you know, uniting them.
Right.
The sooner you can get them in, the sooner
right.
you can, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have a target or goal, the time frame that you're looking at?
We want to get this started as soon as possible. So
the
we
governor wants it yesterday.
Yeah, the governor wants it immediately.
Yeah.
So, so we are, you know, asking all of the different partners that we can in the county to see if they're willing to, you know, help us get this started and get it off the ground and make it sustainable. That is one of the biggest goals we have, is making sure that we can keep this going after the 2 years, you know, because you don't want to stop at 2 years.
So, I'm still trying to find it. Are you going to create one of the little thermostats that says we're 32,000 and or wait, here's our goal of 32,000? Are you going to go to individuals?
We've gone to businesses, so right now Alex is in charge of the fundraising portion of it. She's going to businesses, other things like that, and asking for money.
So we need to get the word out that this is an option for people to enroll, and then
because we don't want to have people enroll and then tell them we never raised the money.
Right, exactly.
You're
right.
Kids excited.
So they, Dayton Children's, did the thing, like, went out and got commitment, then they opened the fund with the Dayton Foundation, and then they did announce, like, if we've got an individual donation, you know, if somebody wants to make a donation to the fund, anyone can make a donation. You, myself, it's open. You can give $25 or $1,000 or whatever you want to give. But they went out and got the initial commitments, too, to make sure that they could sustain it. So the commissioners in Montgomery County gave various, foundations have given funds. So, you know, it's just been a conglomerate. Dayton Children's gave. There was a group kind of that gave. But once they felt confident that they could sustain it, then they signed the agreement. Because there's an agreement, a memorandum of understanding that is signed between the affiliate, which will be United Way, and Dolly Parton Library, and then United Way, and the Ohio Governor's Imagination Library. So, and then we have a fund agreement that says what we're doing that United Way will sign with us. So we don't, the Dayton Foundation's not signing anything besides giving our account number for payment. We're not signing anything. We just have the agreement with Dayton Children's, but they're signing everyone up, they're collecting the money. We're not fundraising, we're not, we're not in charge of it. They're the affiliates in charge of all of that.
So how long did it take for them to get
commitments? Not long. Everyone was literally everyone said yes, I think. You'd have to ask Jessica Saunders at Dayton Children's her experience, but from that first meeting we had, they're on their second month, and we only met the governor's office. Wood County met, Montgomery County met at that same time.
Yeah,
so that was January?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they pretty much went out.
It
was huge. It was 250,000
in year. So, was there a commitment from the schools?
Not in Montgomery County. I don't think. I mean, I can find out for sure.
I was just wondering, because to me, I think that would be their best interest also.
No, I don't. you know what I mean, some of those corporate foundations in Dayton that gave, that the larger gifts came from Dayton Children's and the Dayton Shores.
Thank you, Commissioner Askew.
From the governor is that it's like the this program, how did they say it when we met with it? It's kind of like
it's a win-win.
It's something that they wouldn't see, like who wants to take buying children's books off to, but you know what I'm saying, like it, they felt like it was something that would be approved going forward. I mean, it's only 2 years, but they said they thought that it would be something that would be continuing past the 2 years, but they obviously couldn't commit to that. But they said, who wants to be the one saying?
I guess my point is, he's big on early childhood education, education as a whole, but it's still a discretionary fund, so you could go away. So the long-term sustainability, you almost have to look at some point, maybe having to raise all of it, which would be twice that amount, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
I just want to get clarification
yes,
on that.
Yes, that is correct, yeah.
Every 2 years, there's a new budget. And
yeah.
You've never seen a budget that's about this thick?
Yeah.
5,000 some pages?
And I forget what the number is, but when they talked about, too, the number that this is in the budget versus the entire budget, and that it's not a drop in the bucket, but it's not a huge number,
right.
In the total budget.
And so, again,
I don't know those exact numbers, but when the governor's office was here, that's one of the things they pointed out, that A, who wants to take away buying books for kids, and it's a small number compared to their big budget. Now, again, I don't know, you'd have to go directly, but that was what we were told in that meeting.
Yes.
Is not comfortable signing all the until they have that 32, you know, set initial.
stay longer.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Makes a little
difference,
doesn't it? Yeah. I don't know how you do it. The good news is your kids are older, old enough now.
Yeah. I listen to books on tape away, so I'm excited to get in my car. There you go.
Moved to exit executive session where to be discussed pending litigation.
Chris, do you have your packet?
Is this it?
Yeah, that's it. Well, we start with the radon project. And this, we've kind of talked it over, and we'll throw this in and see what you guys think. There's no guarantee with the guy that's putting the ventilation system in. He's not guaranteeing that you're going to get a certain amount of reduction of the radon. So maybe you go with the company that's going to put the piping, because they do guarantee some sort of, you know, below four, I think is what it says in their paper.
Yeah, below four.
Mm-hmm. So you put that in, let them put that in, and then we can do the other side of it, because we were going to talk about doing that anyway. So you'll have your guarantee from those people. Mm-hmm. Then we'll put the unit, we want to put a bigger unit in anyway, and replace the air handler down there all at the same time.
You get a variable speed air handler, we can turn the air a real minimum. That causes drafts, because in the summer or in the winter time, they don't want 70, I think you guys probably already know this, but it'll take a transfer about 70% of the outgoing tempered air, whether it be heating or cooling, and put it back in by transfer of an exchanger inside that. So,
and that's what that other fellow from the other company, from the doctor, environmental doctor, was proposing, was putting that exchanger in.
Which is that something you guys can do?
Yeah. I mean, we would want to put, I think, a bigger one in anyway.
And it would lay on our shoulders about the radon. Now, the only thing that might throw a wrench in that would be, they're talking about aggregate being underneath this building. You read that? That's still undetermined, obviously, whether they're going to drill the pilot holes.
We don't think there's any aggregate.
We don't think there's any aggregate.
Just going to be set on the
clay.
Say we don't lose good fixtures.
And if that's the case, I don't think it's going to work.
I think we've been looking at these. I think we have to do this.
I agree.
And that should capture the way, if I'm understanding the way they're going to put the spirit in, they should be able to capture this. And then this is a whole different story as far as, even if we had to add some radon, additional radon to this, but I think this is a long-term fix. I think this is a short-term fix.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, in my opinion, and I read through both these, this is the route we go first. And because they're going to come back and test.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to follow it from cradle to grave, so we know what has been done. And if it doesn't work, they haven't met their goals, we'll figure something else out. But that's my opinion.
What did you think wouldn't work?
Well, because it's just, if it's sitting on clay, there'd have to be a space. You can't pull radon through.
Oh, I see.
I think you're going to see there's some gravel there. I think there'll be enough that it'll work.
There has to be aggregate for them to get through the piping.
For the gas to flow under the new foundation.
You know, if you take it
to the to come out. If there's clay, it's not going to move.
Yeah. They put enough gravel in there that they won't find in the mud. It's not going to take much. It's just got to be able to transfer through the gravel.
Or I think the guy said, it could have been some kind of ash stuff that they were
cold dust.
It would be interesting to see how big that concrete is. Because back then, concrete was the cheap one. I heard from winery, they had concrete that was 12 inches thick.
Oh, my
God.
It was cheap.
I think there'll be enough air to get down there. It may not be the material that they're used to dealing with.
Right.
But in an old building, like I say, it may be fly ash, which is cold. It could be, it could be a piece of granite that they broke. And who knows? But I know we're all the waste went early on.
Oh, yeah.
Under the floor.
Absolutely. Pop cans, or not pop cans back then, but
bigger bottles. So what is the bottom line on this mediation? It's a piping out. Is that a 14?
Yeah, 14.575.
You wish on the second paragraph.
They do guarantee that they will
once they do the stage one, which is mitigation process, is to conduct a series of diagnostic tests and then go from an eighth of an inch hole up to a 5-inch hole. And then what they'll do is they'll draw a vacuum from the our area and downstairs, it sounds like, and see whether or not they're getting any transfer between this hole and another pilot hole or whatever they're going to do down there to see whether they can get it out through there and get a minus negative 0.01 on the vacuum on it. Talking about.
Okay.
But there again, the air handlers are getting old, obviously. The shafts are getting worn and stuff on the ones down there. We were planning on putting something together and wanting to replace them anyway down there.
But I think if you do this, and if this pretty much takes care of the problem.
Yeah.
We're talking about remodeling down there anyway. That can all be part of that.
Absolutely.
And we can monitor, and if we have to do additional, that's very easy to add on to that. I mean, you're basically just bringing outside air in. There's some plenty of
exhaustion.
And it says this system has a 5-year transferable guarantee to reduce and maintain the radon level to
thing we got to watch is the other guy says to see whether or not it's drawing right back. I believe that's on the second page.
Fourth left paragraph.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's basically it. It says annual operating cost about $77, which
that's the electrical little thing.
So, and they say a lot with EPA regulations, like.
So how we, as far as the renovation downstairs, where are we at on that, or what do we need to do?
I think we want to do this first.
Keep that. Oh, we're doing, so we're going to do this first?
Yeah, we want to do this
first. Also, we're going to do it at the same time.
Well, it'll be kind of shortly thereafter.
Let's figure out what resolves this problem.
Right.
And then we'll know how to move forward, because if this is
the result. This is the first step, and then renovation is the second.
This is the carpet. Want to get rid of that first before
maybe
yeah.
You want the carpet
out of there before we've got it on the board of elections, we just need to get it out of the rest
yeah.
of the microphone.
I need
it
all the carpet.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go ahead and do that. But well, I think we need to get this done, see where we're at, and then that'll determine what we do with remodeling the air handlers and radon or whatever. If this takes care of it all, that'd be great. We put new air handlers in, but
you won't know whether it does or not, right?
Well, if you redesign down there, you might put the air handler over here instead of over there, kind of thing, too. You don't know until you decide what you're going to remodel.
You also make provisions that you can add this on after the fact.
Right.
So that if it doesn't, okay, we have this option. So say this works for a couple of years, and all of a sudden we're getting it again. That's not uncommon. I mean, we're dealing with an old building, and like I said, we don't know what subsurface is and things of that nature.
Yeah, what was you saying? Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, just depending on how you split up the rooms will make a difference to going out.
It will.
You guys run your events and stuff, so.
It will.
So, yeah, this is step one.
They never designed the proper airflow down around because when they wanted the wall, they start walling.
Mm-hmm. Think about proper airflow.
Right. So, that's all right.
That's kind of where, so we'll get rid of the carpet and
go ahead and move forward with.
When do you think that you guys will get this approved and get it moved?
We'll have to get in touch with him and we'll get a contract for the place and stuff.
Okay.
Good.
You can see the proposals there, and I recommend to go with Adams on that. We'll paint the roof, and then I'll have the. I'm close on the EFIS project. I got two bids. I can only get two bids. I had other contractors looking for an EFIS guy. They're just not out there. And a lot of places used to do it, but
they
don't do it anymore.
Yeah,
I agree.
That was what was in vogue at the time.
That was very common
just, yeah.
building material because of the lack of being able to get other materials at the time. Basically, it's styrofoam with a plaster sprayed over. I mean, an outdoor
yeah,
plaster.
Yeah.
I thought it was thicker than that. I mounted something on the outside. It is. I mean, it's like your fingernail.
It's a styrofoam plaster.
Yeah, and then there's styrofoam behind it. Yep.
I mean, but they did that because at the time they built those buildings, building materials were very high.
I bet in 20 years they'll look back and be like, man, that commissioner's a moron.
I'm like, why would you do that? Why did you do that? Well, the time was the right decision to make.
Well,
this is the information you have.
If you possibly go back and really look, that was probably during, I don't know which hurricanes hit then.
Building material stuff.
Everything went south.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you couldn't.
Yeah, there were several years.
I just said, I mean, we just put ourselves in the corner, so. Can't find anybody to work the building.
Well, bottom line is, it's
the trouble with my quotes is one guy wants to repair and patch and fix, the other guy wants to redo the whole building and recode the whole thing. So you can see they're going to be miles apart. Then we're just going to pick what we want. Yeah, well, that's the thing. One guy wasn't even going to touch the newer side of the building, but I've seen when I mounted that. A lot of Knox box for them. I can see little holes in places that do need the attention.
Now some of the stucco, you can see the netting behind it is rotten. Some of you can see the netting.
So this is just for the roof painting?
That's just the roof, yes.
Okay, so Adam's painting.
Then we're going to have to paint, once the EFIS is done around the whole building, then you're going to have to paint that.
I didn't.
And I'm getting bids on all of that.
I didn't look, but is that a Are we comparing apples to apples?
Yeah, on the roof. Yeah, I had Sherwin-Williams came out and did a bid spec for that. And then I sent the bid spec to three different painting companies, and they all had the same information. Same paint, same material, same work.
The PGI has the easiest work.
Yeah, just ignore that, because he's not doing it.
Oh.
His guy doesn't do it. He just wanted to submit the painting.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah, a lot of those companies are out of business. You remember a company in Clayton called Campion? Mm-hmm. Their Judy, and I forget where her name was. That's gone. It's been gone. Because they have a lot of problems.
So how are we going to repair the easels then?
Yeah, we have.
Is there somebody that can?
Yeah, I've got two.
You got two. Okay.
But like I said, one, and I'm going back and forth between them. Like, do we need to do the whole building? And then, like I said, someplace I think we do.
Is there a difference in years of length? I mean, if we repair it, it's going to last 10 years.
Nobody's going to be
able to get it on the plane.
No.
That's the only where I can see.
The problem you're going to have, and you won't know this, you can put new over bad.
It's still
going to come off, and you don't know the condition of that. I mean, you can go around and have one do all you want, but if it's had water intrusion for any period of time, it's going to be loose.
See, some of the lights is mounted on the side. One of them came loose, and it's kind of hanging. So we went up to fix it, and it's got a hole that big around it where it's just eroded out. The whole thing, you know.
Should we look at getting away from EFAS and put something new on the outside so it's guaranteed to last 25 years? And
it would be major, whatever it would be.
You know, that's what you would use. You have to take it all off.
Well, you would.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's nothing to attach anything.
Well, if you find a study, you can fur it out.
Maybe fur it out.
That's what I was saying, like a barn. You
could probably fur it out outside.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, do you get a price on that, too? You know what? We're guaranteed this is good for 25 years or 30 years versus this. We may have to do it every 10.
Well, please just keep in mind when you're getting your quote. If your quotes are $50,000 or above, we're going to have to bid it out, guys.
Yeah.
We have to do the formal bid process.
When's the prevailing wage comes in there, too, then probably.
Prevailing wage, if it's a repair, stuff like that, I think for buildings, I think it's $100,000.
Well, I can get some siding prices, but.
So down there.
The problem is we need to get something done now because I waited last year too long.
Right.
Even if you go to like May and June, they're done till next year.
I mean, maybe
that's what happened to me last year.
What
material? Like put a metal like vertical siding on.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Something. Because if we're gonna have the TV, we have a kind of body, we're gonna have to add probably the existing that's on there. You know, it might be money and time well spent to put something else.
You might be able to see what's possible fixes for uses. Coverage or, you know, just see, there might be a material that's nice and just not. I don't know.
And, I mean, because you have to take in your windows, and because now they'll be countersunk back, you know, because you have to make molding, it'll, you know, aluminum, whatever, to come out,
right,
you know, that'll come
to
out, to come on the extra thickness of the furring strip, because I assume it'd be 3/4 inch, I don't know, and then you'd have your thickness of your siding on the high parts, which that varies according to what kind of siding you
look at.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it would be a good,
but,
because it may be worth the money to spend it to get away from that stuff.
I would Google it up, but I think probably in the short term we're probably looking at repairing what's on there. Unless we can come up with a fix in the short term, because we're going to make a decision for it. And that may be something to look at long term, as it's going to take $200,000 5-10 years down the road to go back in and fix this. It may be best to strip it and go to the studs and start over because, you know, probably that EFAS, it's styrofoam, so they just cut it to fit whatever they made it. I mean, that's why they got real fancy with it.
I'd rather spend $200,000 today than $100,000 down unknown later, though.
Well, the one guy's going to
get
it for like 20 or 25.
Awesome.
Right now.
Say that again, what?
The one fellow wanted to fix it for like 20 or 25, so it's under.
Okay.
The other one's 80 something. But he wants to redo the whole everything.
you can get a $20,000 fix that lasts 5 to 10 years, even though it's an alternative plan, it's just buying you some time. Yeah. I don't like it either, but this is something that should have been looked at 5 years.
Thanks, guys. Can you let me know then if you find something on the Cobb building?
Yeah, I'm going to look now.
Okay, thank you. So why, to keep it simple, and this was my minor input, why not just shift everybody four spaces and nobody changes?
Well, actually, you're going to end up needing to lose at six.
Let's shift six spaces.
It's pretty much what you're doing, but we found that a lot of people down here parking weren't supposed to be parking, and that's where I think you're going to need your degree, because the ones who weren't supposed to be parking down there anyway, being forced down,
out together.
I mean, like, the way I drew it up, that way you could see
this
who
is
has
not
parking there, and then who should be parking there.
Okay. This is not our doing. We are very glad to provide handicap spots in near the building, and we're happy to do that. It will be what it is. Here here's your new assignment, there's not.
That was the only other thing, because we will be losing 6 parking spaces. I mean, it won't have to be a whole 6, but it might as well be, because you're not, you know.
Yeah, I can never use that.
It was very cold in that, let me tell you, my legs sucked my legs.
Okay.
But we talked about leaving maintenance up top, because, you know, they work out of the back lot.
Right.
But the only way we can do that and still keep the judges and the prosecutor up on this end too is sheriff's transport will have to go away, because that's where building maintenance will need to be parking. So our thought was that maybe we just move sheriff's transport around the corner, which we currently have marked as a handicap parking.
That's the one we're going to talk about.
Can I?
Do we have bids? It's 11 o'clock.
Oh.
Well,
hey, guys.
Well, I have 11.
Get Bex in here. It's 11 o'clock. We're good.
I have exactly 11 o'clock.
The other thing,
we can sit and talk about
while she's grabbing those, I mean, you know, I think too, I mean, the 3 commission spaces are in front of everybody else's. We're only here. I mean, I know we're here come and go, but I'm wondering if I'd go at the bottom.
See, and I moved you guys down all the other.
I know, but the people, I mean, if we put ourselves at the bottom, at least we're making a statement of, hey, we're working farther than anybody. That's the way I like.
All right, well, we'll.
But.
11 o'clock.
Well, you're grabbing that, so I wanted to say that.
Okay. 11 o'clock, and it is time for our bid opening for 2020 small paving for the engineer. We have one bid. So it's gonna be
sweet.
One bid.
Lucky day.
Anybody got a quarter? Yeah, you win.
Project, their bid is
$97,625. What's that for?
This is for small paving.
Oh, it's not a certain area. Oh, okay, so it's the conglomerate of the project.
At this time, I'll accept a motion to note receipt of this and forward it on to the county engineer for his approval.
I move. Yes.
Thank you for joining us this morning. If you
thank
like
you.
To stick around, we're going to keep talking about parking spaces. I have an idea.
We got food?
No.
I like the way you think. I'm thinking the same way you are.
See you guys.
See ya.
All right. So back to.
Could you imagine him hitting you in football?
Oh.
Man, he's a big dude.
Okay.
Oh, you rock.
Good job, Bob. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
No. Okay, so, my only thought about the building maintenance in the sheriff's transport area is, I think this is one with the sheriff's transport. Is there any way that they could, building maintenance can use this when they need it and it still stay? I would think that the sheriff's unloading area, they would want that to be as close to the courthouse as
possible. It is. I mean, it's just right around the corner from where they're going to be now.
Oh, they won't be using the cement pad that they where they're at now?
That was our thought.
They've got to be as close.
That very first parking space.
Well,
I'm pretty sure they said they got to be.
Prisoners up that often.
Just for court.
Anymore.
Just for court.
Right. So
at the same time, if the only maintenance isn't there, then obviously, hey,
they'll pull in there.
We were just thinking that as much with being winter, especially as much bother than repairing stuff out of there.
See, I would rather.
I don't want to carry anything further than what I have to.
Right. As it is, they're basically going to lose a lot of their unloading space everybody
right.
uses now.
No, and see, I would rather actually call that the sheriff's transport
and let the
building maintenance people use it as they're unloading and loading.
I'm same way.
just because.
I find it's just the building maintenance truck won't fit real good in that first parking space because of the snow plow, salt shredder.
Could we use the sheriff's box? He barely, rarely uses it. And let the sheriff use the van?
That's not our call.
Well, but what I'm saying is we could have a sheriff spot for the van and the sheriff. Technically, we got two spots out there right now, one for the van, one for the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
The chances of them being used together.
They do a lot.
I would.
They get used out there a lot because if the deputies have to come in and go upstairs, that's where they park.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Well, they, most of the time they park out front, 99% of the time. They're always parked out front. The sheriff deputies' cars? I mean.
I never see.
There's times there's three out here.
I think I see Jessica out here more parking. Like if she's coming out, she'll park over there.
Yeah, that could be because she's working here.
Yeah. Especially if she's upstairs and Christian's sitting.
So she's parking there because she's working there, not because she's coming and going. Or, evidently, the sheriff isn't using it a lot.
No.
So,
Somebody other than the sheriff.
I love our sheriff, but he can find a parking spot out front like his guy. I mean, there's parking spots out in front of the building all the time. I'm just trying to, I think like Denise, that keep that as a sheriff spot and maybe let maintenance take over the old sheriff spot.
As far as parking. And then they can use when the unloading, they're not unloading passengers,
mm-hmm.
that building maintenance can use that all day long.
And that's why it's just not a call that we can make it.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to talk to the sheriff because even though he doesn't use the maintenance.
Yeah, I think we definitely want to run by him.
I mean, maintenance obviously is in here more, in and out of here more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be able to get access to get their stuff.
Yeah.
Can they... Is there a chance, Ken, that maintenance can park the big truck further down in another spot and put another truck there?
With the plow and
the thing
on it. They sit out pretty far with that.
Sherry's got the closest truck to what building maintenance does, and you're tight with Sherry.
You get a handicap sticker for the maintenance truck?
No, I mean,
you're actually going to lose about 5.5 spaces. So you're still going to have an extra 4 foot, but or five even maybe possibly. I still don't think we're going to be able to sneak another space in without blocking the path, to the back door.
Maybe during the summer, let them park in that space 10 down here, and then in the winter, let them use, when they've got the plow and stuff on, let them use the sheriff's spot. I mean, down by where the sheriff parks, I mean, heck, that's way bigger than
that would be
fine for them to park on anything. So in the winter, let them put the plow on and park down next to the dumpster, and then during the summer or whatever, they can park in that space 10. When they need to back into the sheriff's transport, back in there, just don't sit there forever. I mean, they can work that out. I mean, if the sheriff's transport come in and they're parked, I mean, not parking in the radio and the Christian say, hey, have a move. I'll get to
it. Yeah, with Christian, he could always give him a heads up
because
he knows who's coming.
I mean, I think they can all figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem leaving the transport where it's at, but the sheriff, whoever's doing that, needs to work with maintenance so they can utilize it the most.
Right.
I get it, the sheriff's going to want the closest point. But there again, maintenance is in and out of this building a heck of a lot more than anybody else, and it may be for just a short period of time, but the only thing I would see. My question is, can we put the bigger truck, maybe we put it down below or something?
Oh, in the lower lot.
Yeah. Because when the plow stuff's on, they don't use it.
Well, that's true.
I don't know why the plow's on it. It hasn't snowed all year and they've had a plow on it earlier. That's not, the professionals take them off.
A couple times they have, don't use it.
Yeah, but those things, those are quick-tatch. I mean, the state will go plow snow. Okay.
To me, that's not a big deal, but for them, maybe in the morning, when they're trying to get done, it's more of a pain. I don't know.
Last week, the state plowed snow, dropped their plows, and then went out and salted. And that's the professionals doing that.
I think the biggest, probably the biggest issue is they don't have a good place to drop it. I mean,
it's flat. It's more flat.
Well, I suggest that maybe they go up and talk to Kyle and see if he had a spot back around the
That'd
lot.
That'd be awesome.
That he could drop that off. I know where they put it down that barn. It's not a lot of gravel in there.
Yeah.
And then
put it on solid ground.
The driveway down to it's. Needs
I just look at that as a liability. Having that plow on there is a liability.
Yeah, but guess what? Since it's been on there, it hasn't snowed.
So you're saying it's saving us money?
Yeah.
But and like I said, even if it did, I mean, if it snowed a lot and they needed the plow and they didn't have it on, then they've got to figure out how to get there, get it on, and get up.
Just plan ahead. If we're getting that big of snow, you're going to know about it.
I don't know how many times they said we were getting snow, we haven't got snow, or we weren't getting snow, and suddenly, ta-da.
Well, but you can still get it. It's a state route to get there.
I think that they can park that truck down below and move the smaller one up here while that stuff's on it. And in the summertime, when they take it off, they don't switch it, fine, but, you know.
I'd drop it.
However, whatever they want to do, that's up to them.
Yeah.
I'm not micromanaging.
I'm just looking at something to run into something.
Okay, so.
But, yeah.
Back to we need to notify.
I mean, other than building maintenance, and that's it, are we good with everything else? But literally what I did was I just shifted everybody down
right.
Six, because to me that's the very way to go.
Right.
I mean,
building maintenance second truck down here that's currently parked along here will not be there. It will be being moved.
Yeah, it will
down
be
down
there.
That's fine.
The way we basically try to do it, each department has the elected official plus one other person.
I think what you guys hear is perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was good when we looked at it a couple months ago.
I just said what Robin said. I shifted everybody.
That just keeps everybody from.
I had like four people out here, but none of them were really supposed to be sitting in park anyway. So
I need to, or somebody, I guess I was going to do it. I mean, somebody needs to talk to the sheriff and see if we can do away with his spot. Or are we going to keep it?
You can just ask him if we can just use it.
Use it and share it.
Just use it.
Because he can have the spot. Obviously, if he wants to come in but
in the winter time,
if building maintenance would sit there.
I think the sheriff is there. I
can go talk to him too.
But if somebody's parked in it,
we're getting towed.
No, I mean, if
as long as they don't make big old hole.
I would tell everybody it's for short term parking.
Right.
Yeah.
If maintenance comes up and the transport vehicle's there or whatever and they need to park there and run in and get some stuff, or even, you know, somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But just because it says sheriff, we're limited on parking. You know,
right.
When I park on the side of the building, there's a lot of times sheriff texts me, I'm in your spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know.
Well, at least you get
I park across the street. To me, it doesn't matter. Just walk to work. There's people that walk blocks in the city. To me, it's not that big a deal. But
I don't like the hill. I personally don't bother me. Like, I think
this seems like the fairest way to do it. The only thing would be is, you know, sharing that spot where the transport unloads and where the building maintenance needs to get into where they can.
Here's the deal. Even at that. I've seen it when a sheriff's deputy's been parked in there and the van sit out in the alley and they've walked him in from the alley.
Oh, that's true.
They probably had two trips.
They park behind the cruiser.
Right.
Yeah.
Walk behind them. It's going to happen, guys. If they got a big
right.
one day,
mm-hmm.
just make it work.
Yeah.
You know, I've come in and the sheriff's been parked in the commissioner's spot on the side. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Alright, so we'll make those switches and if you guys are good, then we'll move on.
Okay.
I'd say let's.
Do we have a time frame? I mean, we can do this up maybe a little bit neater and show everybody where they're going and
we got
the list.
I agree. Like, the list I've already done, all I gotta do is just switch building maintenance and transport. I list right there. That's the new one. I went ahead and updated it.
Okay. So, okay, so you're just going to create a list, or you're not going to, they don't need a map.
They don't need a map. Everything's out there is numbered.
Right.
They'll figure it out.
Okay.
I had to walk down there to figure out where everybody's at, so, you know.
Okay. And I think the sooner that we get the word out, the better. I mean, because we're going to be starting with this.
Yeah, do you have any idea when they're planning on coming up and starting those?
We can go ahead and get them moved.
Well, yes, I know. But are we sending this out and saying,
Monday's
we need to start this at the end of this week, Monday,
Why don't you get everything formalized and we'll approve it and send it out Monday?
Yeah, send it out Monday and then tell them by the following Monday. That's the new way we're going.
So you're looking at March 1st.
Is that March 1st?
I'd say by the end of next week or
the end of
next week, whatever we need.
Next week. Well, we just want to make sure the word gets out.
Well, he said he has approved it on Monday. He said beginning, Wednesday. I guess Tuesday to do it.
So if we send it out Monday, we need an effective date.
Yeah.
To what?
I was going to say, because you're going to be getting some people down here, so how long do you want to give them to be calling down here and say, well, they're going to talk to the commissioner.
There's handicap spots out there. They may not like them all, but guess what? We've done everything we can to comply.
Monday.
Well, I'm not talking about them.
No. Yeah, we're not talking about, I know what you're talking about. Okay, so Monday, we'll send it out.
Okay.
Wednesday, tell them. If they have any issues or complaints, they can come in Wednesday. And chew our butts out, but everybody will be complying by Friday. That you will be in your new spot by Friday. That gives them, make sure we just want to make sure that we got plenty of time to get the word out.
Okay. Well, that's why I didn't want to wait any longer, because Chris had talked about having them come up and do that.
Right.
And I thought, we better.
We need to get the word out as much as possible and tell them Wednesday they can come in and yell at us all they want. And if you would like to invite the Board of Elections in on that, that'd be great.
Well, that'll probably be too busy.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else?
I do.
Oh, you do. All right, what do you have?
Let me see here. So, I know I got a regs text now for the hair book. I would really like for you to shop Jet off today, get your pictures so we can get that done, because they were really wanting to finalize that.
Yeah.
So that would be great if you guys could do that. In the RPC, did you already fill out you got yours?
I filled that out.
You got yours.
And
I got yours.
And
I know Jeannie went last year.
Yeah.
You just got to make a separate check for her.
When is it?
This one is April.
There's one in your office.
Yes.
Sure there is.
Yes, and we all remember.
I've got it down. So you've RSVP'd?
No. If Jeannie's going, I've got to have a separate check from
I'll send her
for
message.
You for her.
Because we all remember when Jeannie got there and did not have a table. Did not have a seat.
Hey, we were freshly married. 5 years.
Now.
5 years, right, exactly.
So I was actually just going to email Jeannie and be like, hey,
so you're going to take care of it?
Yeah, I will talk
Thanks.
To you. And then Chris is going to get you from Diane. So that's all I need for that.
Okay, good.
Commissioner's Ball.
Yeah.
So the price is a lot more than what it was the last time.
I heard their room went up to $2,000.
Their room is now $2,000. Last time we got the room for $300. This year is $1,000. I've tried to find other places. At this point, everything that I have called, 10-10-2020 is a huge cliche type date for weddings because it's 10-10-2020.
I believe it. Guess what? My daughter's.
10-10-10 equals 20.
Yeah, I might not be in town. My stepdaughter's getting married.
10-10-2020?
Yeah, now that you say that. She picked that day for that reason.
Exactly.
Jessica's getting married that day. if you wouldn't have said 10-10-2020, people's getting married, I wouldn't even have thought about it. I just found out probably a month ago.
So does that mean change the date?
Well, I think we need to change the venue. We weren't happy before.
You're going to have a hard time. If I,
To hold, for 100 people?
You're going to have a hard time finding this.
What's Gathering at the Greens hold?
$3,500.
For Gathering at the Greens?
Yes.
Did you call them?
I called there, and I went to my wedding. Tried to go there. The inside, have you been on the inside?
Oh, yeah. They just redid the floors. It's
yeah,
amazing.
The floors wasn't like that before, but when I looked at it, it was $3,500. And she had called for me, and 10-10-2020 has been booked for 2 years.
For that?
For 10-10-2020.
I bet they would cut us a good deal. I'll talk to Carrie.
Well, it won't be for 10-10-2020.
Well, I won't be here. I won't be here 10-10-2020.
So we may
probably
want to change the date to the 7th.
I apologize. I didn't realize that until
you
said weddings.
Are you going
to
call right away?
Call what?
You'd have to call Gathering.
Gathering in the Green.
Oh, if you guys want me to, yeah. If you want me, if you want.
I can call her, but you can get.
Yeah, let me call her. Well, and here's the deal. You know, we make them a sponsor, a good sponsor, and get their name out. And I mean,
well, and that was my thing when in trying to find, because I even talked to, we were even looking at the New Paris, the ski lodge there, and trying to use the angle of marketing. This is, if you've worked like an in-kind thing,
oh, yeah.
Use that and market, we'll market you like there's no tomorrow.
Let me think here.
But I could not find anywhere else here that is not.
Let me say this.
And if you go to the Gathering at the Green, you might get your room cheaper, but you're going to have to get somebody to cater the meal then.
Well, the other thing I was thinking, and that's, that. Well, I think it'd be cheaper. It'd be cheaper to
I
cater.
I think it would.
It'd be
I
cheaper
it
and it'd probably taste better.
And maybe the dessert would be the first thing come out.
Yeah. Like if you do Jake's, they'll do alcohol and food. I mean, I know it's not classy, quote unquote. I don't care. I don't want classy. But the Grange can be decorated to look great. And why not have it at the Grange? It's in the center of the county. It's affordable. Yeah, it'll hold 150, 160. They have huge events there. There's 120 people there that dance every Thursday.
Yeah, but that's really packed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I get
we're
it.
We're not talking
how many
tables.
People do we, how many people do we usually have at the commissioner's ball?
Last year we were low.
What was the highest year we've had?
I'd have to go back and look. I mean, that's,
I thought it was
a.
I think we had
18
tables with 8 people at them.
So yeah, the Grange should work. It should work.
I thought we had over 150.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it's going down, what's the chances of us having?
I thought we've had 150. Well,
the reason it went down is because
right,
and we changed. There's a lot of truth in that.
There's truth in that. Until the last minute, okay, we're looking at 100 people. We're going to get it in gear. We might be back up to 150.
I think at this point, you leave it at Houston Woods and let's look at our options in the future.
So pay the $1,000?
If we've got it locked in.
We don't.
No, she does.
Oh, she does.
She had locked it in.
Well, the 10-10, I won't be there.
I have not signed that contract. We have not sent it to development to sign the contract.
Just as me personally, if I had plans like that where I couldn't make it, I think we should look at the 17th, the following weekend. I mean, it's the commissioner's ball, and one of the commissioners isn't going to be there. So,
I apologize, I didn't know.
Well, but if we can change the date now,
I think it would be probably better. I'd like to be there.
I mean, I would want.
If
I would
I'm not, it's not the end of the world either. I mean, I'm still help raise money.
Well, kind of like the new said.
I want to be there. I want
to
be there.
So we have to do it when you first.
So if we can make a quick phone call to see if we can change the 17th.
Now, I know before we asked her for the 10th, but I think it's the 23rd.
So it's $1,000, right?
23rd is Friday.
24th.
$700 more.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm wondering is, should we, and again, get a price on the food? Because it's not just the room, it's the food. Let's get a price on the room and the food and make a decision.
Well,
I like having it in the center of the county. I think it's.
They're not changing the food price. The food price is going to be what it has.
What is it per person?
I just don't think
it's not like a big amount of prime. It just depends. Like there's like $17 a person to pay for prime. The chicken was $15.
That's not bad.
And the vegetables.
That includes the dessert and everything?
Yes.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's what you've always paid. So
I figured it'd be $30-$40.
There's no difference.
That's good.
That's good. That's
it
a good price.
They just had a food call with last year with the
yeah,
That prime rib is bad to find. That's good.
You're not running through my fare, so I can go and make sure it works the way it needs to be. But so that's where you're at. And it's like, you know, if you guys do change and you go to a different venue, then I think we need to look not at we need to look more buffet style versus sit down. It's not as classy, but you know.
Okay, so
at this point we're gonna have to change the date to
right, and
now I need to know whether you guys want me to check Houston Woods.
It's true, too.
See if we can change the date or if we're going to change the venue. Because if we're going to change the venue, then I have to look at a lot of different other things to check.
All right, so.
And then I got to look at tablecloths and all that good stuff.
I'm kind of with Chris on the fact that I think we should stick with the same venue this year.
Just know
that for next year, we can be talking about next year, this year.
And that's probably something if we want to look at gathering and figuring, we probably need to be talking to them now for next year so that we can get on the books. Because as wedding venues, I know with my wedding, and that was only 2 years ago, and I had a heck of a time finding a place to have to hold it.
So maybe you can talk to gathering and figuring about the following year.
I mean, I need to play them that far ahead, but at the same time, if you're going to try to change your venue,
it's going to be a big deal.
I mean,
we
are having trouble with Houston because that's in the middle of. And they have people that stay at Miami and they hold their banquets the night before.
Yeah, in Green, they put more parking in.
It's a down there at the barn. You have it up front and you can park down
there. I've only been there for 3 events, but it was nice. I mean, it's not huge though.
I haven't been there since it was gone.
I just know that they didn't have a lot of parking.
Yeah, it's pretty. They got quite a bit. It's a huge. It's a big area.
You can always park down, because they have like the places in the middle of the barn. There's extra down there where you can park.
Just a few spots.
The last event I was at was probably pushing over 100 people, and no issues.
I mean, I'm not thrilled with the facilities. I'm not thrilled with the Allardyce pin on the wall. That's just personal preference.
See, I'm Preble County. I don't care.
I love it, but it's hard to.
As long as the food's good and the company's good, I don't care what the walls look like. That's just how I roll.
Some people do like this.
Yeah.
If you're giving big votes and getting out of town people here, you're calling it a ball.
Yeah,
they're not looking there for the.
Yeah, but it's a fundraiser too.
And at the same time, you don't have Gavin Creek. I know Houston was that they usually have people stay there.
Yeah. We had people spending $200 on pies a few weeks ago at a high school. It's not about where the event's at.
The only thing that I can see is the rooms, because especially with alcohol being there, having some place to stay. And I asked,
true
was, and she said every year we have booked out every single room.
That's the only thing for me. We do have a lot of people who stay. I mean,
come out of town.
I stayed here several times just for the simple fact
that it'd be Deer Run. Deer Run's 2 miles away.
You got a shovel, right? You're gonna be our
sure.
No, I'm just saying that's the only downside.
Yeah.
We only have one venue that's close to hotels in Preble County.
Right.
You know, if we had one, if we ever get a hotel in Eaton or somewhere, then you would be able to a mile drive and.
On a side note, I kind of like the gathering of figures, especially when you're going October, because it is fun to do an outside thing. And like I said before, I would love to go out. You know, but it's nice when you're doing a gathering like that to be able to walk outside, you know, and have like a nice area lit up. Type thing in the gathering period would be nice to do that. And it would be good publicity for another upcoming business in the county.
One thing to keep in mind is if you want to change the style of the event, we do have a lot of good sponsorship, and there's counties, larger counties throughout the state that can't raise near as much money as we raise for this. So some of these people do like to dress up. They do like to come and stay.
I agree.
Some of these companies are sponsors. They're spending an additional sponsorship on their employees staying here, you know, feeding them. And,
right.
But it's kind of
so
a,
keep it lodged and we'll see what happens in the future then.
That's kind of a perk for their employees. They look forward to it.
That being said, I am going to contact, we're going to try to go with, were you guys happy with the DJ last night at LLD?
I thought Eric did a great job. Eric Green.
Oh,
Eric
Green.
He did a great job.
I know he had mentioned that his prices did go up depending on the date and stuff like that. And said, you know, he could even donate his time, which hopefully we can hit that up and cut that cost down a little bit. Photography wise, I know we've always used Legette Gatlin.
Yeah.
Photography. With that being said, with our price at Houston Woods, if you guys are okay with it, I was actually going to ask my friend's photographer if she would just do it for free. She's obviously not from the county, but she would come just to keep our costs down so that more of that money is going to this year.
Can we pay them for the photography?
Yes. We'd like to pay the flower people. We pay for all of it.
Okay.
I mean, so I know she's not from the county, though, but would like to see if she would just do it for free. She does me a favor anyway.
It's still a good deal.
It's still a good deal. I'm just trying to think of how we can, with the increase in Houston was, how we can lower some other stuff so we're still being able to give most of that money to the charity.
We just need to work a little bit harder on getting money. I agree with Kim. I know I put everything off to the last minute. That
so,
I forget what was going on, but.
Just you. So with that being said, I mean, we're really going to have to, with all the prices increasing, I mean, we are going to have to. And I know down with the flour, we'll probably have to increase a little bit on that flour at least too, because her prices have gone up.
Or get flowers that aren't as expensive.
The only thing I would say about photography, if it's only $250, if there's somebody local.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably giving us 75% off already.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
what I mean.
The only one that I know that I actually think of that is Lisa White. She does cattail here at Eaton. About seeing if she would be interested.
Well, let's check with Gatlin first and see what, make sure his price is the same. Because I like the local, and he's done it, you know, and it may be that he's not available, so.
And you guys are Eric?
So are we trying to change the date? We're back to that.
Oh, you're going to have to. Honestly, I think you have to.
Okay.
If you can't, the commissioner's office will be
all right, so why don't you...
If it's available, if it's not available.
Well, it's not available,
well. Well, what if it's not available?
What do you do? Do you guys want to do it again?
October 3rd.
I just know that you're going to have a hospital wash in Houston because, like she told me, that's my university.
Well, we need to make a phone call to get to see if it's even possible.
Okay, so we will work on that.
Okay.
All right. Other than that, I think that's all I got. That's all I really got. Yes, and I'm
pictures.
I don't know if I got a time. I mean, I don't care. I gotta ask my wife. I don't know. If I do, it'll be at the end of the week. We're not leaving until 28th or 29th or something.
Okay, so you'd be here for Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going or not.
Okay.
I can't get an answer out of her. She always wants to go. She wanted to go on vacation for 10 years, and I never wanted to go. And now I'm like, let's get out of here while we can. And I can't. Yeah. So I'm not wearing a purple tie with that.
That's
I'll
purple.
Just get my picture taken with that. This is just for the fair book, isn't it? Yeah, I'm fine.
All right, so is there anything else? Anything else to talk about? Additional items? Rodney, do you have anything?
Mm-mm.
Chris? Okay.
Move to adjourn.
Sorry.
Can we call a roll?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson.
Yes.
So we're going to get a picture now?
Apparently.
So I'm ready.